those tornadoes are going to cost us.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, looks like all the twisters we're seeing this month will have a financial impact far from Tornado Alley. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 0.2%, about 24 points at 12,504. The NASDAQ also up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 up 0.3%. Home prices continue to fall, though. The S&P Case-Shiller Housing Index said this morning that home prices in almost all the cities it follows fell in February. Many are now at their lowest levels since the housing market collapsed. Well, if you're one of the many people in this country paying a mortgage that's worth more than your house, consider yourself lucky. At least your house is still standing and hasn't been swept up by a tornado. This month is likely to set a record for the most tornadoes in a single month. Julie Neiman is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company, and she joins us live, as always, from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, tell us what all these tornadoes mean for the insurance companies.
Well, if we hate bad weather, the property and casualty companies really hate it.
Yeah.
This perfect storm started in about 2008, and it was epic. Financial disasters, weather disasters. In the coastal areas, you've got hurricane, rain, mudslides. In the west, fire and drought. Central and east, windstorm, tornadoes, hail, flooding. Now the insurance companies make money by collecting premiums and investing in financial markets. Neither's working. You've got the premiums flat due to the recession, businesses closed, homeowners lost houses, investing, the worst bear market in modern history, interest rates near zero, and at the same time, claims are escalating. So you've got a profit crush going on here.
So what are the insurance companies to do?
Well, it's going to be merger for survival here. There's going to be less competition. That means we're going to see the next storm for consumers is going to be higher premiums, less coverage. Batten down the hatches.
And Julie, you're in St. Louis, which had quite a storm last Friday. Everything okay at the Neiman House?
Well, the last time we had this amount of flooding, it was build an ark, and I think everybody's getting it out again.
Oh, boy. Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
Well, to gas prices now, the national average is now $3.86 a gallon. President Obama has asked the Justice Department to look into the possibility of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets. But industry insiders are firing back, blaming the government for fueling the price run-up. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Critics point out his Republican predecessor ordered the same kind of probe in 2005 and again in 2006 that Mr. Obama is promising now.
We're going to make sure that no one is taking advantage of the American people for their own short-term gain.
Twice, investigators found no conspiracy, and University of Maryland economist Peter Morici says there's no profiteering this time either.
The focus on fraud and speculation is scapegoating.
Morici says it's distracting from years of inconsistent energy policy, which has kept us vulnerable to oil shocks. Meantime, industry analyst Stephen Shork argues Obama is essentially blaming the messenger, investors who are signaling the risk of not having a clear energy strategy.
What the market would like to see is a coherent message.
Shork argues the Fed keeps flooding investors with cheap money and encouraging speculation, and low interest rates have weakened the greenback's purchasing power.
I don't even watch the oil market anymore. I watch the dollar. If the dollar's going in a certain direction, I'm confident oil is going in the opposite direction.
Address the monetary issues, and Shork says flatly, you will see oil prices lower. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
It seems now is the time to decide if you want the Republican nomination for president. Mississippi's Governor Haley Barbour says he's out, and Texas Congressman Ron Paul says he may jump in. And then there's the guy who's getting most of the attention at the moment, real estate mogul Donald Trump. Well, reporter Anna Sale with WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org, has been looking into Trump's business background, and she joins us now with that story. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like despite Donald Trump's fame, no one actually knows what he's really worth. Why is that?
First of all, the Trump Corporation is a private company, so they don't have to tell us how much he's worth. Mm. Also, real estate is part of it, and those values obviously fluctuate. And his name itself is a commodity, and you can see that it's on real estate towers and casinos, but it's also on bottled water and vitamins. And so we don't know how much he actually owns and how much he's just sold the use of his name.
So you're saying that those buildings with the Trump name on them, those aren't necessarily his buildings?
Right. The Trump name doesn't mean that he owns it. It doesn't mean that he's developed it. Sometimes he's just sold the use of his name. And this is something that's been a marker of his career all along. He's understood that the Trump name itself adds value. This is Gwenda Blair, a Trump biographer.
Very early on, he got branding. He was really quite prescient about that, how important it would be to make his name into something that would add value.
And that has gotten him into some trouble recently. There are actually two pending lawsuits for a project in Florida and a project in Baja, Mexico, where investors bought into a Trump project, thinking they were buying part of Trump's developing sort of mind. And then they found out later that he wasn't involved at all. He just sold the use of his name.
So it's all about the Trump name, the Trump brand.
The Trump brand, it's everywhere. It's on projects that he's involved with. It's on projects he's left. For example, the casino company in Atlantic City that runs the casinos, it's gone bankrupt three times, the last time after he left the board. So it's about the Trump brand for good or for bad.
Anna Sale, reporter with the website itsafreecountry.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, to another familiar name, bumper cars. It seems only natural that you would use them to bump into other bumper cars. Well, not so anymore at one resort in the UK, which has banned bumping for fear of being sued since the cars don't have airbags. The resort says riders can have plenty of fun trying to dodge other people rather than running into them. It calls its bumper cars Dodge-ums. We're on Facebook at APM Marketplace, on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of American-grown wheat goes to the Middle East, so farmers here know the politics there pretty well.
If the government stopped subsidizing wheat, they would have a lot of riots. I mean, it would make Tahrir Square look kind of small.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Let them eat bread. Next time on Marketplace, that and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.